Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, January the 24th. So did you catch Governor Doyle's State of the State address last night on the Ideas Network or on Wisconsin Public Television? We'd like to know your reaction. If you didn't catch it, we'll go over many of the proposals addressed by the governor and how his ideas are likely to be received in the State Assembly and the State Senate. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will wonder what you think about his calls for a variety of tax breaks and other incentives designed to ward off a recession and to help the state's manufacturing, business, and agriculture industries, and other public policy issues, including health care and the smoking ban and others. We welcome your questions and comments for our guest. Our guest is someone who has heard a few State of the State addresses as a state legislator and is now a professor of governmental affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Mordecai Lee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So first, a little civics lesson for all of us. The point of these annual State of the State addresses?
Well, it's actually required. If you look at the state constitution, similar to the federal constitution, most of us are familiar with the federal constitution requires a president to inform the Congress of the State of the Union. And that's sort of how that tradition and that title started. And so in the Wisconsin constitution, similarly, a governor is required to provide a message to the state legislature of the state of the state. It sort of sounds like an odd phrase, state of the state, but it actually captures exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and usually governors say the state of the state is great.
Yeah. You know, I was in the legislature for 13 years, and I don't remember sitting through one where he said, it's really awful and we're doing a terrible job, see you next year.
Yeah. But, you know, last night he had a little bit of a, he said that, we're going to face some tough times.
Well, I think we have to remember that the source of revenue for state government is extraordinarily sensitive to fluctuations in the national economy. After all, most of state revenues are based on the sales tax, which reflects economic activity, and are based on the state income tax, which also reflect economic activity. So it's sort of one of those situations that when Washington coughs, we get a cold.
Mm-hmm.
I remember how fast these things can happen, that after all, if you think about the mid-1970s, the economy was in good shape. We had a surplus. And then all of a sudden, Governor Dreyfus comes in, returns the surplus, and during his single four-year term, we went into a national recession, and Wisconsin shifted from having a surplus to having a deficit. And at that point, he increased the sales tax temporarily by 1 cent to cover it. And, the same things have happened in the 1990s when we went from prosperity to recession very quickly.
Yeah, and the governor said, he didn't say the state of the state is great last night, he said the state of the state is prepared to meet the challenges.
And I got to tell you, I'm a little skeptical about that because he already drew the line in the sand. We have to remember that while Governor Doyle is a Democrat, he's a fiscally conservative Democrat. He's essentially on fiscal issues a Republican, and I think it's fair to say that in the sense that he is absolutely opposed to any general tax increases.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care how bad a deficit might be facing state government. He will not increase the general sales tax. He will not increase the income tax, and he doesn't want to increase business taxes. And so if indeed it's going to happen that there's going to be some kind of an economic contraction, he made it absolutely clear that the one thing that's going to happen is cutting costs of government, especially laying off bureaucrats. It's a very popular line until the programs that people like start getting affected.
Yeah, and I played the clip a little bit earlier at the top of the hour, he said that we're going to have to, deep sacrifices, but didn't go into any details.
When you ask Americans, are you in favor of cutting government? Absolutely. Are you in favor of cutting taxes? Absolutely. Well, are you in favor of cutting, and then you mention something that they're affected by, and say, well, not that. And this is the political dilemma of what it's like to serve in the state legislature. And I remember having constituents literally in the same conversation saying to me things like, oh, you guys are spending too much, and you guys have got to cut taxes. And by the way, don't cut. And then they'd go on to this list of things they like. So it's really trying to make all of the people happy all of the time, which is really impossible.
Yeah. We're going to check our weather forecast and then continue talking with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, about last night's State of the State address from Governor Jim Doyle. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What's your assessment of the State of the State? And do you have any reaction to the governor's call for various initiatives to help businesses and agriculture and other industries to help ward off a recession? We welcome your questions and comments about the State of the State. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, January the 24th. We are discussing the State of the State. Governor Doyle delivering his State of the State address last night before the state legislature and the citizens of Wisconsin. We are talking with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, in this first hour of our program, getting an overview of what was said and what wasn't said. After 7, we'll be welcoming in the heads of the Wisconsin Democratic and Republican parties for their takes on the governor's State of the State. Joe Winicky and Reince Priebus will be joining us after 7 o'clock, and Mike Hipsch, the Assembly Speaker, will also be joining us in our next hour. After 8 o'clock, we will talk with the Wisconsin Secretary of Commerce. We invited Governor Doyle to join us in our 8 o'clock hour. He was unable to, but suggested we talk with the Secretary of Commerce, so we will. Also talking with Republican State Senator from Brookfield, Ted Canavas, who I believe will, in like a lot of the tax business tax breaks and such that that the governor announced last night, and Russ Decker, the Senate Majority Leader, will join us also in our 8 o'clock hour. So a variety of guests, a variety of perspectives, and we want your perspective, too, on the State of the State. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk@wpr.org. Well, Mordecai, what was your overall reaction to what was said regarding the State of the State?
I think it was a very interesting strategy that you could almost see from the structure of the speeches if you would categorize the different paragraphs. When Bill Clinton was president, they used to talk about how his political style was what was called triangulating. In other words, that there would be a traditional Republican position, there would be a traditional Democratic position, and he'd try to find some ground in the middle that was neither one nor the other. I think yesterday he was, to my mind, very explicitly triangulating. There was about a third of the speech where he was, for lack of a better term, tilting right.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying things that would make the Republicans jump up and applaud. He was talking about not increasing taxes. He was talking about tax breaks for businesses. He was talking about the need for venture capital, the capital gains tax break, helping agriculture, helping manufacturing. I mean, they just loved it. And so that sort of the speech would sort of be entitled, you Republicans are going to like this part of the speech. And then he sort of pivoted. And then if you, again, categorize some of the paragraphs, he then proceeded to tilt, for lack of a better term, tilt left.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying things that made the Democrats jump up and applaud and the Republicans sit on their hands. He talked about increasing the minimum wage and his concern about global warming, the need for energy conservation, the need to make health care affordable. So it was very much a kind of a swing for the left field and swing for the right field. The other thing that I thought was very, very interesting was that he really made a point of saying, instead of the usual gubernatorial rhetoric, I'm going to introduce a bill on such and such, and I want you guys to pass it. He very much was riding on bills that were already introduced in the legislature. If you'll remember, he named bills, he named chief sponsors, and he very much was naming both members of the Assembly and members of the Senate, both Republicans and Democrats. He was very much saying, you know, I'm plucking out of these thousands of bills that are pending in the legislature, and I hope you'll pass the bill you're already considering on this and the one you're already considering on that. That was a very interesting strategy to sort of jumpstart getting his agenda through by saying, what I want is already before you, and I'm endorsing bills you've already introduced on your own. And it was sort of like putting more wind in the sails of those bills and being very careful to endorse both Republican and Democratic bills, Assembly and Senate bills.
Interesting, yeah. I did notice that. I hadn't noticed that in past State of the States with all the names of various from both houses.
Well, yeah. Joy, if you noticed it, then you don't need me on this program anymore. That means you've graduated. I'll give you an A.
Thank you. Well, and then he said this about health care.
Our economy, our businesses, and our families need health care reform that draws from the best Democratic ideas and the best Republican ideas. A plan that gives our small businesses the relief they need and gives Wisconsin families the peace of mind they deserve.
Kind of calling for a compromise on the health care question.
You know, I'd actually say not. I'd actually say what he's trying to do is he's trying to drive a wedge into the Republican coalition that opposes major health care change by focusing on small business. I mean, if one wants to make some generalizations, I think it's relatively fair to say that Democrats want major reform in the health care system, going back to the two Clintons proposals, and that what Republicans want is tinkering around the edges, minor things like, for example, transparency or disclosure of prices. Those aren't equal. You know, it's sort of the elephant and the mouse. They're both animals, but they're different. What he's doing is he's focusing on one of the key constituencies of the Republican Party, saying, see, you guys who are against major change, part of your base, your party's interest groups, really wants major change. And so I'm trying to make a crack in this sort of Republican solidarity against major change. So that in and of itself is a kind of a triangulation going back to what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking he didn't say we need healthy Wisconsin, what some Senate Democrats want, and we need more than health savings accounts, tax breaks for self or health savings accounts, which is what Republicans say.
We have to remember politics is sort of about teams, and he's a Democrat, and one of the houses of the legislature is Democratic, and it's true that that house, I think, is more to the left than he is, but ultimately in a showdown, they'll support a governor of their team. So that's why he really has to address overcoming the resistance by the Republican Assembly.
Yeah, it says Doyle wants to create a health insurance pool for small businesses with up to 50 employees to allow for increased competition and lower costs. However, the plan relies on a subsidy of up to $100 million from the state, which could come from the state, making its chances of passage more difficult.
You know, $100 million, that's some serious money.
Yeah.
You know, there's an old joke that, you know, a million here, a million there, pretty soon you're into some real money, and $100 million is real money. And think about if there's an internal contradiction in the speech. He's saying, I'm against any tax increases. We might have to do painful cuts if the economy goes into recession. But by the way, I'm in favor of spending $100 million to get this insurance idea off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's because new public policy costs money. And his message was, in a sense, trying to send two different themes. One was about it's okay to spend some new money, but on the other hand, we're in tough financial times.
Yeah. Some callers. Joseph in Hartford is first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. It was good that I heard about the governor's plan for health. And it's not only Republicans, it's Democrats, it's Republicans, too. Right here in Washington County, we have one in the assembly by the name of Pat Strakota, who is very much for mental behavioral health. And I am so pleased to hear all of the good news that is going on this morning. Thank you, Mordecai. Thank you, Joy. It's such a great thing to talk to you all again.
Yeah, Joseph, you liked what the governor's proposal for health care reform?
Right on with the health. Yeah. Mental health, every kind of health.
Yeah, I think Joseph wanted to talk about mental health parity. That didn't come up, though, did it, Mordecai?
Joseph is right that there is a group pushing for saying that all health insurance policies issued in the state of Wisconsin have to have a parity in the dollar amount of coverage that they will for mental health as they do for physical health. What the governor did talk about was a different requirement for health health insurance policies in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and that was to cover autism treatment.
Right.
And whether the legislature will be fighting about mental health parity or about autism coverage, it's a basic ideological fight over how much the government should intervene in the marketplace by saying, here's what all policies have to cover, versus those who say, let the market reign. So whether it's Joseph's goal of the mental health parity or it's the autism goal, I think you're going to find a really tough fight in the Republican Assembly on either of those.
Yeah, the governor pointed to a couple in the audience in the assembly chambers who had an autistic child and talked about how hard it was on them, some $50,000 a year for treatment or something, and that that he said the legislature needs to pass this autism bill that would require insurance companies to pay for autism treatment. And I think he got one of those standing ovations on one side of the aisle and not on the other.
Right. Moving moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a good speech in the sense that it was very human. You know, when mm-hmm. we sit here and we talk about public policy, it's so abstract. And ever since Ronald Reagan started doing what are called human props, all politicians do that. And I think it's very effective because it translates the sort of gobbledygook of policy wonks into reality. But nonetheless, I think without in any way wanting to be insensitive to that couple or to people who care about autism or have autism in their family, I think it's a reasonable question to say, well, why are we singling out this particular mm-hmm. illness or this particular condition and saying that it has to be covered? What about these 10 other serious, let's say, medical conditions that aren't covered on a mandatory basis? Why didn't they get on the list? Why mm-hmm. did autism make number one on sort of, to say it crudely, the hit parade? Mm-hmm. So this is an issue that continuously recycles through the political process.
Rich in Hustisford, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just a little disappointed that Governor Doyle didn't talk more about veterans issues. He did mention one about the veterans getting free tuition at colleges, and everybody stood up and applauded it, but he was wrong. You have to have 30% VA disability before you get the free tuition, and he didn't mention that it's also your family that gets it if you're 30% disabled, so your children and your spouse get to go to the UW system and the UW and the technical colleges in Wisconsin. So he kind of took a, I mean, they're looking at it eventually yeah. down the road covering all veterans, but it doesn't. Yeah. And I was, you know, he didn't even talk about one in four homeless people in Wisconsin is a veteran and didn't cover hardly any, well, only one thing on veterans. And I was disappointed.
Right, and Rich, I hope you'll correct me if I'm wrong. I think in terms of these aid programs, I think there's one category of sort of all vets except those from Iraq, and then there's a separate category of those who served in Iraq. And so it could be that those who served in Iraq don't necessarily have to meet the 30% disability mm-hmm. threshold while general veterans do. But,
right, but the point is, he said all veterans, and that's where he messed yeah. up.
Right, go ahead.
It's really not all veterans. So you're going to have veterans coming to the state now from Vietnam, from...
Yeah. So that free tuition only applies to Iraq veterans.
Right, and, you know, Joy and Rich, again, I don't want to appear callous, but I think that Rich talking about his belief that there's a need for more aid for veterans, and he talked about...
You know what? We're going to have to wait until after our newscast to get more on that. Talking with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, about the State of the State address last night by Governor Doyle. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, January the 24th. We continue our discussion about the state of Wisconsin and Governor Doyle's address to the state legislature last night, where the governor said Wisconsin is up to the challenge of a slowing economy, and he unveiled a number of economic development initiatives, a call for health care reform, a pool for small businesses, a call to hike the minimum wage, among other things. We are talking about the state of the state and the governor's proposals last night with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee. And we welcome your questions and your reactions, too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Just before news time, we heard from a caller who was disappointed that the governor didn't say more about benefits for veterans. And Mordecai, looking at what the governor said about veterans last night, he said, last year in Wisconsin, we gave our veterans a ticket to higher education, tuition free. And Rich in Hustisford said that's not true for all veterans. And you were pointing out that indeed that tuition-free benefit is just for veterans of the Iraq War.
I believe that's an accurate statement. And in general, I think Rich's comment is a real opportunity for us to discuss the reality of political dynamics. Rich was, in a sense, saying it's unfair that the non-Iraq vets have to achieve the 30% disability to get free tuition, whereas the Iraq vets don't. That's a very typical thing that when you're a politician, you hear from people. And what's really behind that is they're saying, again, with no disrespect to Rich, spend more money on me. Spend more money on my category of the population. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a famous political scientist called Harold Laswell who defined politics as who gets what. And so there's the legislature, there's the governor, they're really deciding who gets what. And Rich is saying, well, the veterans should get more. Well, getting more costs money. And so here we've got really the reality of modern Wisconsin politics, where revenues are very sensitive to economic downturns. There are going to be no general tax increases, but you've got various special interest groups, for lack of a better term, who want more spent on them.
Yeah. Stephen Appleton joins us now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I was calling because I heard I listened to it just specifically to see if the governor was going to say anything about the biofuels and where we're going with it or if we're signing on to the California emissions. And he really didn't say a lot there. And it seems like we're throwing money into the production end of the ethanol and from corn, and I know there have been big advances in cellulosic and from cheese whey and stuff like that, but he's not working on the use end of it. You know, if they don't sell cars that can run on it, we can make all we want, but what are we going to do with it?
Yeah, let me play a clip of what the governor said about energy incentives last night.
Over the next 10 years, Wisconsin will invest $150 million to help our businesses, our farmers, our foresters, and our manufacturers produce and promote renewable energy. Our strong manufacturing base and rich agricultural industries, along with the wealth of resources in our vast northern forests, and our world-leading research universities position Wisconsin to become the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy.
And Steve, that wasn't enough.
Well, no. I mean, if we go ahead and we keep building, you know, corn plants or whatever plants, if we're not working on situating them right, like up here in Appleton, the Outagamie County landfill. Perfect place to put one to make it from the paper sludge that they're talking so much about they have a way to do. Help the paper industry rejuvenate the whole economy here by siting it at the Outagamie County landfill using the methane from the landfill, drawing the water from under it, which we have a water pollution problem, you know, it's seeping into the groundwater there. They can pull that out, keep it from spreading, you know, and plus I have two flex fuel cars. I use the 85. Both of my cars, which were not sold in California, state that they meet California emissions right under the hood. So if we sign on to the California emissions, we would get more of these vehicles here, which are hard to find. It's just like he's just looking at the one end of it. I mean, we can make all the ethanol in the world, but then you have problems shipping it out of state to sell to someone else, you know, if we're not getting a way to use it right here.
Mordecai?
Well, I think that's a great observation, and I have to say it went right over my head. I didn't notice until Steve mentioned it that the governor had focused on the production end of biofuels and energy conservation as opposed to the use side of it. Although in past State of the State addresses, he has talked about renewable energy and energy conservation. But I think this is Steve's call is a perfect example of when you shift from generalizations and sort of sound bites about a policy area, in this case energy conservation, and you shift to the reality of what specifically you're going to do, it's very easy to start fighting about the details. Everybody can agree on the generalization that we should be, this is a great line, the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy, but it's going to be much harder for people to say, well, if we're going to spend $130 million, what should we spend it on?
And Well, we're going to go a little off track here, but Yvonne in Jefferson County wants to follow up on the veterans benefits issue. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to correct some misinformation that I heard about the Wisconsin GI Bill. As a county veteran service officer, it's my job to help people get through the paperwork part and get enrolled in these programs. And the Wisconsin GI Bill is actually open to all veterans that have a Wisconsin home of record on their discharge paper and who have served at least 2 years from any era, so they could be World War II veterans and use the program.
Do you get free tuition?
It's tuition remission, yes.
Well, what does that mean, tuition remission?
It means that you simply, as opposed to the federal GI Bill, where people enroll, pay their tuition ahead of time and get a check to reimburse them, it means that they simply don't get a bill for the tuition part. They still have to pay books and fees, but they don't get billed for the tuition.
Yvonne, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
So what are the circumstances that Rich was alluding to where a veteran has to be 30% disabled for him and his spouse to get free tuition?
That's the only time that the spouse and children can use it. And the spouse can use, from the time that that veteran gets his 30% rating for whatever disability he has, the spouse has 10 years from the date that the last child is 18. And that was just something that was put through with the budget. Otherwise, they had 10 years from the rating date. And the child can go to school up until their 26th birthday.
This is great because this shows you the kind of decisions that legislators and governors have to make. This is called playing with the dials. In other words, think of all the dials that Yvonne just mentioned. There's the dial about the percent of disability. There's the dial about home of record. There's the dial about how many years of eligibility. So what Rich apparently was talking about is about his spouse qualifying for free tuition. Now, again, I think without being in any way insensitive to Rich or people in his population category, I think it's reasonable for a lawmaker to say, under what circumstances does a spouse deserve free tuition? Mm-hmm. After all, one of the themes of public policy is sort of ability to pay. Who needs the help as opposed to for whom do we have sympathy and empathy, even if they might not need the help? These are very tough decisions.
We are talking with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, about what Governor Doyle said during his State of the State address last night. Governor Doyle saying he supports a variety of tax breaks and incentives and grant programs and other initiatives designed to ward off a recession and to help the state's manufacturing, business, and agriculture industries. Many of the proposals borrow from Republican ideas and may have some trouble clearing the Democratic-controlled Senate. We'll talk a little bit about that after the weather. Governor Doyle wants to create a health insurance pool for small businesses with up to 50 employees to allow for increased competition and lower costs. However, the plan relies on a subsidy of up to $100 million, which could come from the state, making its chances of passage more difficult. The governor continues to back a statewide smoking ban. The governor wants to require all insurance companies to cover autism treatment. The governor asked lawmakers to approve a compact with Great Lakes states to protect water from being siphoned from the Great Lakes and more. We're talking about the State of the State and welcoming your reactions and your questions. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Do you like these ideas or not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
In order to be successful in making sure that this budget is going to line up with the amount of money that the taxpayers are going to provide us, we are going to need to look at everything from our K-12 education system to our healthcare system to the natural resources, every area of state government, including the legislature, the governor's office, everything, and figure out ways that we are going to be able to simply get by on less money. It's no different than what families are doing across the state, and it's about time that the state of Wisconsin must do the same thing, especially if we do know that there is going to be a shortfall in money that we had anticipated coming in. But that being said, let me make something very clear. We are in the seventh month of a 24-month budget. We still have the opportunity to turn this economy around and invest in our people, invest and allow our companies to invest in themselves, and hopefully still weather this economic slowdown.
Now, as Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch, Republican State Representative from West Bend, reacting to the State of the State address last night delivered by Governor Doyle before the state legislature. We are talking about the State of the State with Mordecai Lee, Professor of Governmental Affairs at UW-Milwaukee. And what do you have to say about what Assembly Speaker Hipsch has to say?
Well, I'd like to comment both about that clip and about the general theme of Governor Doyle. You've got politicians from both parties making it sound as though somehow we in Wisconsin can become an economic island, that we can make these small little decisions in Madison that will prevent Wisconsin from going into a national recession, that will maintain our prosperity and the rest of the world will be in recession. I really think this is sort of typical of how politicians talk and sort of like to take credit for things they shouldn't be taking credit for. There's absolutely no way that Wisconsin can be an economic island. And for anybody who's studied macroeconomics, we know that state government doesn't spend enough money to be an economic power to affect an economy. If there's going to be a national recession, we're going to go into a recession. Because sometimes you have the converse situation where if there's prosperity nationally, you have local officials taking credit for it, which is sort of like trying to take credit for the sun rising in the east. So there's really almost nothing that a state government can do that has to do with national economic conditions. There's no way that we can prevent our economy from going into a recession.
And here is Russ Decker, the Senate Majority Leader, reacting to a question as to whether the Senate will support the tax breaks that Governor Doyle proposed last night for businesses.
Well, there's not a politician in the state of Wisconsin doesn't want to be for some tax breaks. I have to be straightforward and say if they're job creators, I think we will look at them, you know. But we also need what the impact is going to be to the bottom line.
So what do you think was going to happen with these proposals with our split legislature, Mordecai?
Well, I think we have to realize that American politics is very ideologically based, very much left-right, and very much almost knee-jerk. That the Republican Party is, I think it's fair to say, is the party of the business sector, and they're in favor of giving tax breaks to business. And that the Democratic Party, I think it's fair to say, is sort of the party of the workers and unions and sort of the little people, and they're against giving breaks to these fat cats. And so you can already hear these debates about why should we give tax breaks to businesses? Will it create jobs? Will it help Wisconsin? Will it only put money in the pockets of rich people? I like this. I think this is good debate because this is about the substance of these issues rather than just the slogans about them. And I think it's healthy to have Democrats and Republicans trying to find middle ground if they're willing to compromise and find middle ground.
And by the way, Russ Decker will be joining us after 8 o'clock this morning, and Mike Hipsch will be joining us after 7:30. Now let's go to Josh in Dodgeville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I was just calling to comment on the statewide smoking ban.
Yes.
I have relatives and friends and people who are have asthma or allergies who are unable to go out to places even for a short amount of time without having a negative effect on their health. And I think that they should either require non-smoking in all public places, restaurants and bars, or the alternative would be to require them to properly ventilate their public areas with fresh air on a timely basis so that people can enjoy all of the public places that are available I just think it's a shame that that some people can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
They can't go out to a bar or a restaurant without coming home smelling like an ashtray.
Yeah, the bone of contention there, Mordecai, is that some want to exempt taverns from this smoking ban, that every place else goes smoke-free except taverns.
Joy, this is another example of how interesting politics is when you shift from the sterile textbooks to the reality. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a situation where tavern owners and some restaurant people are saying, well, this would hurt our business if there was a mandatory smoking ban. And so, generally speaking, the Republican Party is sympathetic to that. As a rough generalization, the Democratic Party is not sympathetic to that. What surprises me, to a certain extent, is the sterility of the debate, because the governor made a point of saying, well, they did it in Minnesota, they did it in Illinois. Well, let's have some get some interesting information. Presumably in Illinois and Minnesota, tavern owners and restaurant owners said that. Well, let's get some good, reliable, credible information about, well, they said it, and if so, what were the impacts? Was it really as negative as they said, or what were the compromises there? I think there's so much of a way to improve the quality of the debate by having some good information.
Yeah. Here's what the governor did say about the smoking ban. He called on the legislature to pass this, a total smoking ban.
Wisconsin should not become the ashtray of the Midwest. I'm telling you, if Ireland and California and New York and Illinois and Minnesota can do it, Wisconsin can do it. And it is time to do what's right and make all workplaces completely smoke-free.
I mean, there is that information or evidence from New York and California and other states that have gone smoke-free quite some time ago, Mordecai.
Right, and so to picture yourself, you're in a crowded hearing room where you've got 1,000 tavern owners saying, you know, I'm afraid that this is going to hurt my business. Now, that's the moment when it would be useful to have some credible information. Let's say a tavern owner from California or Illinois or Minnesota who says, well, you know, guys, I was afraid of the same thing, and let me tell you how it worked out. That would contribute to finding common ground instead of a kind of a knee-jerk, I'm for it, I'm against it.
Yeah. Dale in Centuria. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to comment about the usage of ethanol, and our legislature this past session failed to pass a statewide mandate for 10% use of ethanol, and that alone would make a huge difference in the amount of ethanol that would be used that is locally produced. Is not a better oxygenate available, and I'm wondering what is actually going on in that southeastern part of the state where most of the resistance was from, because they were against the ethanol. Are they continuing to use the MTBE oxygenate that actually has been outlawed in California, and it is a contaminant of the groundwater and carcinogenic?
I'm sorry, Dale. Your question is what?
My question is whether or not is MTBE still being used as the oxygenate in the southeastern part of the state?
I don't know if you know that, Mordecai.
Well, this is a wonderful public policy issue because, for example, as I understand it, some environmentalists argued that translating corn into ethanol, it takes one unit of energy and converges it into another unit of energy, whereas when you take sugarcane from Brazil, it's not a 1-to-1, it's a 10-to-1. So I think it's fair to ask, under what situations do we want to, in a sense, prop up the corn market, prop up corn growers, if there truly is not an environmental benefit or an energy savings? And this then shifts us into the whole issue of what is the role of government in terms of affecting the marketplace, or can the marketplace work on its own? So these are truly open public policy questions that do deserve this kind of argument.
Yeah. Well, let's see. In our final couple of moments here, Mordecai, anything else that you thought was noteworthy from the speech last night that we haven't talked about yet?
Okay. Okay, Joy, from my lecture notes, I have 2 points left that you haven't asked me about. One of them is that he kicked the can down the road to the next budget when he talked about the need to totally revolutionize teacher salaries.
Yes.
So, in other words, he was sort of giving them a kind of sneak preview. Hey, I don't want to argue about it now, but a year from now, let's be ready to argue about it. The other thing that he didn't say that's very important is he didn't say that he was going to introduce what's called a mini-budget. A mini-budget tends to be a kind of a small budget bill that changes course in the middle of a two-year biennium and that was very popular in the 70s and 80s. And he's saying no mini-budget bill. If there are some crises about the national recession, we're just going to cut spending. We're not going to do a comprehensive new mini-budget. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Is a mini-budget the same thing as a budget repair bill?
Precisely.
Okay. Well, we'll use that for fodder in our next hour. All right. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, John.
Mordecai Lee is a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, former state legislator. He was a state representative and a state senator, I believe, a Democrat. And we thank him for being with us. We'll continue examining the governor's State of the State address from last night and wondering where his ideas go from here. We'll be welcoming in guests from a variety of perspectives all morning long. We'll hear from the heads of the Democratic and Republican parties of Wisconsin in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.